Grace to you and peace from God who creates all things and sustains all things. Amen. The gospel lesson for this Ascension Sunday follows immediately after the account of Jesus appearing to his disciples. And it's a wonderful line in the middle of that that I would have been for the seventh Sunday of Easter, Jeremy. But it's so appropriate to today. You remember the story. They're all together, right? They're all together after Jesus appears to them, and he says, "Peace be with you," and they hang out together. And then at some point, Jesus even asks for some supper, and he eats a little piece of broiled fish among them. And Luke will write, "While they were still talking about these things, Jesus stood among them and said to them, 'Peace be with you.' And they were startled and terrified and thought they were seeing a ghost. But Jesus shows himself to them and settles in among old times, and they talk. And then Luke writes this: while in their joy and disbelief and still wondering, Jesus ate with them." I want you to remember that little phrase. While in their joy, they were disbelieving and still wondering. And after the ascension, they were in the temple continually praising God. That's the story right before the ascension. And suddenly, after all of this, Jesus says to them, this is the time. And as they move out toward Bethany, Jesus is taken up from them. And if you look at the Acts text, they're all standing around looking, where did he go? And two angels appear and say, "What are you looking for?" It's a weird story, but a powerful one. One of the wonderful commentaries that I read this week said that the ascension of Jesus in Luke Acts has a lot less to do with geography, where Jesus is, and a lot more to do with who Jesus is. That question of where Jesus is always kind of stumps us, right? All of us, or most of us anyway, have a fairly well-developed sense of physics. Even the kids, when I asked them why would the ball come down, they knew the answer. Gravity. So in our faith, we are like those disciples to whom Jesus appears right before the ascension. And that's why I love that phrase so much. I think it's really an excellent description of the church. We are the people who in their joy are disbelieving and still wondering. It's a really beautiful phrase. Joy and disbelief and wonder. And yet they are in the temple continuously praising God. All of you are pretty well scientifically knowledgeable. And has it ever occurred to you, I hope it has, because it sure occurs to me almost every day, that in order to be a Christian and sit in this room and listen every day to the stories, every once in a while, you have to have a little suspension of disbelief, right? A couple of weeks ago, one of the commentaries I read about the text said, you will notice that the Gospel of John says this, but they will already know the story from Luke, and it says something altogether different. It might be a good time to explain to them that theological principle around witnessing and how the Gospels are not exactly history. And he goes on and on about how we should sort of make sure that you understand that this is a theological practice. And I thought, well, not on Sunday morning. We'll do that in class. But all of you every week in some way have to sort of say, okay, Jesus rose from the dead. There's something I haven't experienced yet. We can't even cure the common cold, much less death for all of our trying. So that's why I love that phrase, that in our joy they were disbelieving and still wondering, as we are. When we think of that ascension, we kind of end up going back to our Sunday school faith in some ways. That wonderful Augsburg picture, I don't know, if you grew up in the Lutheran Church, Augsburg has done us so much artistic disservice. Don't tell Augsburg I said that, because I still need their stuff. But I mean, I grew up with a white Jesus in a white robe, surrounded by a cloud and light coming down, and Jesus levitating like something on TV. It was awesome, but disconnected with what I know from school. They concentrated on Jesus, our theology even, all about geography. But this gospel is about identity. In the resurrection, we come to know Jesus of Nazareth as the risen one, as Messiah, as God's child in a new and different way. And then the question comes for us as we sit in the pew, who is this ascended Jesus for us? Well, I can't give you the answer to that, but I can ask some better questions. Who is Jesus for us these days? Well, I think we are like this. I think this Jesus described in the lesson today is the manifestation of God that we meet with joy and disbelieving and wonderment. Well, that would be an uncomfortable phrase for a lot of folks in this country, for a lot of folks in the Christian landscape. I went to church in Southern California. It was right during the beginning of the Maranatha movement. And for those of you who are old and crotchety like us, it was the first time you could go to church and go to a concert at the same time and not know which was which. It was fabulous. But what was clear is that the God that they were proclaiming could not be doubted. That the faith had to be that way, exactly as it was laid out for me. There was no joy or suspension of disbelief. There was no wondering. It was certainty. And only in certainty did you find salvation. But this ascended Jesus is the manifestation, I think, of God that we meet with joy and disbelieving and wonderment, just like his disciples. This God of the ascension is a God who refuses to let death have the last word. You know the old saying, nothing is sure in life but death and taxes, but we're not so sure about death. This is God made manifest, who has said that death is not the final word, does not have the final word. And in fact, maybe another way to think about this God, Jesus, this is the manifestation of God who we meet with joy and disbelieving and wonderment, a God who refuses to let death have the last word, and a God who insists that new life have the first word. That from the very moment of our being, God says, I love you and you are mine, and then pours water over our heads and brings us wine and bread and community and new life and hope, even in darkness. Is that who Jesus is for us? Maybe Jesus is this manifestation of God that we meet with joy and disbelieving. He refuses to let death have the last word, who insists that life have the first word. But also, do you notice what happens As Jesus goes up, he doesn't just say, "My friends, it's been great to be with you. You've been lovely. Now go back to your fishing. Have a good day. It's been real." No. Jesus sends them out. He gives them a mission. "Do you remember everything that I told you?" he says. "Go and tell everyone else. The hope that stirs in your heart, stir in the hope of the world and in the hearts of the world. Go out into the world with this new mission." God gives God's people a call. So who is Jesus for us? Joy, disbelieving, wonderment, death not having the last word, life having the first word, but also a God who calls God's people to a life of mission for the sake of the world. It's a new mission, one rooted in the oldest ways since the creation of earth. A mission rooted in our history and in God's new light. A mission played out not by soldiers of the church, but by you. Jesus has ascended, but then come down and is present in you. The ones who bring God's word of hope and joy and love, of reconciliation and peace and justice to the world. A God who calls God's people to a new mission and a new church and even a new reality. Maybe it's not something we can quantify or quite figure out for ourselves. Maybe it seems a little unlikely, and maybe when we come together and we worship and we sing and we say all of these things, there's a little suspension of disbelief. But we know in our hearts and in our community that this ascended Jesus remains present with us and the world in power and in weakness and in love. The ascension isn't largely a matter of where Jesus is so that we can locate him on GPS and keep him safely on the map. The ascension is not about Jesus being at the right hand of God in some imaginary place up in heaven that looks strikingly like the throne room in a British palace. The ascension is about the identity of God as one who fulfills his promise of love. It is a God whose geography is presence. For us, then, we need to figure out, how do we live with this ascended God? This God who goes up and then remains, who calls us to live these unlikely lives of peace and joy and community in a world that tells us it's impossible. How do we live in this ascended world, with this ascended Jesus, when we say that God is in control and yet we see what's happening in the world? Did you grow up with Omni-God? I did. I had Sunday school. God was omniscient, omnipresent, omnipotent. I always thought we should have a t-shirt. My God is omni. Maybe God is, I don't know. But our faith calls us to something deeper than surety. Our faith calls us to live with this manifestation of God, who we meet with joy and disbelieving and wonderment. This ascended Jesus, who lives in you. Amen.